Okay, so something a little different. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll read from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Two things just to say here. One, you also get an inheritance at the judgment seat of Christ. There's also a millennial inheritance, which we've spoken of in the past. And also, in regard to verse 9, you ought to check that out in the NIV and see what that says. Very interesting. How they corrupt the Bible. Okay, verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of you in that list. We were like that. Maybe you look back at your life. I don't know what age you were when you got saved. But you perhaps, you know, led a life like that. And how we've got saved and come out of that. It's amazing. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So you were like that. And we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 2. That talks about what we were like. We'll touch upon that in a little bit. And such were some of you, but now we're washed, sanctified, justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's an interesting verse, and again, we're going to touch upon that a little bit later. I will not be brought under the power of any. Note that down. Meats for the belly, and belly for the meat, and belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Going back to verse 13 a second. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. What's the it and them? Hello? What's the it and them? You're reading it, you've got it in front of you. Meats for the belly and belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. The meat and the belly. That was hard, wasn't it? Yeah? Now the body is not for fornication. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You think one day you're going to be able to eat and not put weight on? Yes, everybody. Hooray! Go mad about that. Because you won't have your natural digestive system that you've got now. You're going to be you have a resurrected supernatural body that the Lord has prepared for us. Incredible. Looks like somebody wants to put on weight at the moment. Here we go. Verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. We've said before, there are four things in the Bible. Four sins in the Bible that it says to flee from. What are they? Flee fornication. Flee, you don't have to whisper. Youthful lusts. The love of money. And idolatry. Those four things the Bible says flee from. Don't get mixed up with them. Run away from them. Tastes good? there's only one in there. Here we go. Okay. flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you take that chapter literally. Are you glorifying God in your body? Are you glorifying God in your life, the way you live, the way you treat him, what you eat, the way you conduct yourself, your conversation, the physical, the spiritual? Are you glorifying God with your life? We could break each one of those verses down and look at that, couldn't we? Okay, turn to James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. I'm going to be pausing this so we can answer some questions. But I want to read this chapter. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Why is it that you row and fight one another? Why is it that Christians fight? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. You put those verses to the world. Why are they fighting? You put these verses to the Christian, the church. Why are you fighting? For what reason? What reason do you fight? What do you lust after? You may not kill as a Christian, of course, but you know, who do you hate? You hate someone, the Bible says you've committed murder in your heart. Who do you hate? What do you hate? We look at the practical life tonight. And cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So many Christians, I mean, I get a Christian that texts me and emails me and saying that, you know, you're asking God for this and God supplied this and God's healed this and God's done. It's as if, like, he's just, you know, he's just at the end of a rope that you just pull and he's just like a bellboy and he just answers all your prayers just like that. What you ask God for? What's your prayer life like? What do you ask God for? Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So many people just ask God for things. You know, I want money. I want a house. I want a nice car. You ask God for these. And if you don't get it, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You lust after something. You're asking God for it, but it's not right. It's not profitable for you. What's the point in asking for something that's not going to profit to you? You do your own thing. What's more important, your will or God's will? Now, that verse there needs to be cross-referenced. You need to write this down. 1 John 5. 1 John. We're coming back, so keep your finger there. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything... Ah, oh, there we have it, see? He heareth us. Yeah, but what's he saying between those words? According to his will. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What's the will of God in your life? See, so many Christians, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. God may not give you something because it's wrong for you. You shouldn't have it. You know, again, we'll touch upon this hopefully a little bit later as well. It's like promotion at work. More money. Oh, Christians are always complaining, we want more money. There's hardly any Christians I know that work hard. They don't deserve what they get. Most of them are on the dole. You ask for things that are not profitable for you because it's your own will. You want because you're worth it, you think. But God says you ought to be asking him for things that are profitable for you, for the ministry. What God wants you to have. God's not at the end of a rope. He's not a bellboy. What's your prayer life like? What do you ask him for? So many people just use God. It's disgusting, really, isn't it? Terrible. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, he goes on to say, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Yet so many Christians want to be a friend with the world. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. This is scripture speaking, this is not my opinion. You want to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You're making friends with the world, you want a foot in both camps, the world's camp and the Lord's. You're making friends with the world, you're an enemy of God. That's the last thing you want to be. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Are you envious? Are you envious of the rich? Are you envious of those that have got bigger and better things? More money? Or are you content with what you have? But he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. How many Christians do you know that humble themselves? Most I know are proud, arrogant, think they deserve things. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. There's a lesson for all of us. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Listen, I'm talking practically. I'm not putting in doctrinal context at the moment. I'm talking practicalness now. What they call it, pragmatic. And judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. That's our will. We will do that. We'll have bigger, better barns for all our stuff and bigger houses and more money and be profitable in business. We will do all that because we know best. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapour that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just like you switch on that kettle for your nice cup of chocolate. Or your tea or coffee, if you're a Mormon, which are also morons. And then you have your little hot chocolate. I worked with a Mormon. I've worked with lots of morons, but I worked with a Mormon once. And they don't drink tea or coffee, you know, because it's like addictive. So they drank hot chocolate, which is also addictive. I told you they're morons. But what is your life? It is even a vapour that appears for a little time. There's that kettle, just, you know, that steam. There for a little time, then it goes away. Then vanisheth away. Just like a cloud's here, 1 minute, gone the next. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will. It's all about the Lord's will. We've just looked at that, haven't we? You know, you're praying for your own stuff, on your own things, your own will. Or you're praying that the Lord's will be done in your life. It's up to you. You're going to have to be given account of your life to God. No matter what you think, no matter what you believe, you're going to have to give an account of your life to God. Now, it's either his will in your life or it's your own will. That's up to you, but you're going to be judged accordingly. You keep getting warned. We keep getting warned. The Bible keeps teaching us. The Lord's showing us. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So many people say, well, I want to live there. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go there. I'm going to, you know, get involved with this. I'm going to join this. What about the Lord's will in your life? Do you ever think about that? What does he want you to do? Are you in the will of God right now where you are? In your job? So-called career? Career, or where you're living, the ministry, the church. What's God's will for you in regarding to reading the Bible? Can you just choose any version? Is that God's will? Well, I think I'll have a little bit of ESV this week, a little bit NKJV next week, a bit of NIV the next. What's God's will in regard to the Bible you read? Ever thought about that? It's not what you want that matters, it's what God wants. If you allow him to work through you, you'll see amazing things. But so many people try and do it in their own strength, try and live and do things in their own self-will. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, because when it's all to do with you, you can boast about it all. I did this. With my own hands, I created this. If God never gave you the hands, you couldn't do anything. All such rejoicing is evil. That's what the Bible says. That's what I didn't say. All such rejoicing is evil. When you self-will and you say, I've done this, I've done this, I've achieved this, I've won this. I did it in my own strength. That's evil. It's boasting. You arrogant lot. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Oh, these passages, you don't hear much preaching about these days. Not very nice subject tonight, John. Wish I'd never come. Anyway, you're here, so I'm going to get you. Right. What is important in life? Get your pads and your pens out and write down what is important to you in life. I'm going to pause the CD and we'll come back in a second. Okay, you've had your few moments. What's important to you in life? Let's kick off. What we got? Shout something out. Kieran, what you got? What's important to you in life?
Friends.
Friends? You'd like some. I'll be your friend. Okay, friends. They're important to you in life. That's true. Amir, what you got?
I give the last person. Ask that
so
you want to be last.
Yeah, well, you're second. So give us one.
Is it life? That's our life.
Okay. Just for those that are listening, he's Iranian. we'll translate afterwards. Apinja, what you got? The will of God. Yep. Manjit?
Health.
Family. All right, calm down. We'll come back to you. Good man, Lord. Yeah, okay. What else we got? Shout out. Yeah, you can trust the Christians on this one, yeah?
But like the impact or influence I have on others.
Impact and influence on other people? What have we got?
We're just doing all ours or not?
I have to put up with this.
Just say one.
Okay, well, my first one.
No, it doesn't have to be in order. It doesn't have to be in order, go on.
Okay. Well, I'll put first, the Lord of His way.
Okay.
And the other one, you're
going to do that. Oh dear. All right, shout out. Free for all. What else is important?
Security.
Security. Shout out.
Being a good witness.
Being a good witness, a good testimony.
Living in obedience to the scriptures.
Living in obedience to the scriptures. What else?
Family.
The King James Bible. Zara says that. Well done. And to think Zara's only three. Okay. Seven, I'm sorry. All right, so you've just grown up a bit. What you got? Nothing. So you just want friends. Okay, anybody else? Anything else?
Family.
Family? Shout it out. You're lucky to have any. Okay, what about work? A job. Is that important to you? Okay, paying the bills. What about enjoyment? Is that important to you? Anybody have enjoyment? No. But you all want to enjoy your lives, don't you? Every day. You get something out. Imagine going through life every day and you're not enjoying it. Some people perhaps will go, you know, in some situations like that. You couldn't imagine what that would be like. Getting no enjoyment out of every day. What about satisfaction? Are you satisfied? You come home, you know, you've had a day's work, whatever, or day holiday, or whatever you're doing. Are you satisfied with the day? Have you got something out of it? What are you satisfied with? Is that important to you? Keeping fit. Obviously, that's not important to some of you. Keeping fit. I thought it was funny. Oh, man, Lord. Yep, keeping fit. What about food? There, D, there's one for you. Is that important to you? Food. Without food, you cannot live. It's important to us, isn't it?
Water.
The Bible we had, yep. Your prayer life, travelling. What about travelling? Is that important to you? Do you like to travel? What about experiencing new things? Is that important to you? Do you like pushing the boundaries out, or you like your comfort zone? Do you like trying new things? Fulfilling your desires, your dreams, your ambitions. Look at you. Not a desire, dream, or ambition among the lot of you, is there? Hey? A more boring bunch of Christians I've ever come across. No. Your desires, your dreams, your ambitions. You know, what are they? What do you want to do with your life? The rapture could be just around the corner. Are you, you know, we said, what was it, a few weeks back. Are you maxed out? You know, are you really enjoying your life? Or are you just treading water? Are you just going through the mundane? I mean, what's every day like for you? 7 days. We all have the same 7 days. How are you living those 7 days? Well, I just come home from work and I sit down and I'll be drinking me tea, watch a bit of telly, and then I go to bed. Oh, cracking life that is. Fulfilling your desires, your dreams, your ambitions. What are they? Is it the Lord's will or your own will? Family and friends we had. What about a reputation? Is that important to you? You want a reputation? Have you got a reputation? What do other people think of you? Not me, you. What do they think of you? What's everyone in this room think of each other? What about respect? Hey, what's all that about? Hey, is that important to you that you? Because some people, especially this day and age, this ridiculous time that we're living in, people demand respect. What's that all about? But is it important to you? What about impressing people? Do you like to be impressed? Do you impress? Do you want to be impressed? What else did you get? Anything that's not on that list? I just put a few things down. What else? Go for it.
Love.
Oh, bless you. No, love. No, I'm only joking. Yeah, no, I won't. Yeah. Right, listen, I'm not going to go down there and we're not going to open a can of worms. Okay, love. I appreciate that. Yeah, of course it's important. We all want to be loved. You want to be loved?
Not yet.
We all need love, yeah? I'm not just talking about relationship like boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. You know, we need love. Of course we need love. You want to be loved and you want to love. Do you know what it's like to be in love? Okay, what else? That's a good one, yeah? Anything else that we didn't get? No? Okay, next point. We're talking about life, yeah? Being a bit pragmatic tonight. A bit practical. My next point is this. What pitfalls and warnings do you have to watch out for in life? List them down. What pitfalls, what warnings do you have to watch out for in life? What pitfalls and warnings do you have to watch out for in life? You've had your 2 minutes. What do we got? Shout them out. What warnings, pitfalls, anything?
Guns.
There's always one in there. Eh? 7-year-old, she's obviously been watching something with guns on. Okay, that's a fair comment. What else? Pitfalls and warnings.
Wrong
influences. Peer pressure. You have to watch out for that. Because when you're young, especially, you're very susceptible, is it, to other people. You know, somebody could be, you know, you could have a hero that's leading the wrong life and you want to follow your hero. You know, some people are just buffoons, aren't they? They follow people like Justin Bieber and people like that. And, you know, and it leads you down, you know, a very dark Oh, sorry, I didn't realise. Yeah, sorry. We have one of his fans in with us tonight. Okay, what else? Trust no one except the Lord. And that's a good piece of advice. Trust no one. Not implicitly, not fully. You can trust people to a degree. Yep, you can trust me to a degree, and I can trust you to a degree, but not fully. And certainly don't trust... I'm only joking. Right, what else?
Personal ambition.
Personal ambition. You have to watch out for that. That's a good one. Yeah? Personal ambition. Because your ambition, you may be very, very ambitious... And you may want to climb really high in this life and in this world and in your business, but it may not be the Lord's will. And like I said, promotion can be a bad thing. Just because they're going to give you a better job, more money, relocate you, that means you could be leaving your church, you won't be able to go to church, you won't be able to do the ministry that you're involved with, all because money has enticed you away. Okay, so that can be a pitfall, something to watch out for. Go on, something else. Wait.
In sheep's clothing.
Wolves in sheep's clothing, that's a good one. Yeah? People that come into your life that appear to be okay, but turn out to be a nightmare. We've all had them. Yeah, we've all had them. You get them in the church. You get them in your own personal life. People that you think you can trust, yeah, but you can't. And they've led you astray or they've caused problems. And some have been, you know, some people horrendous. What else?
Pride.
You have to watch out for that. Yeah. Pride and arrogance. Thinking that you're something when you're nothing. Galatians 6:3. That ought to be our lifelong verse for every Christian. Proud, you know, pride and arrogance. Watch out for it. Thinking that you're capable of doing it when God has given you the ability to do it, but you do it for His glory, not for your own. Like I said before, the artist, you know, who paints and draws, who does genius work. If he hadn't got the hands, he couldn't do it. God has given him the talent, the hands, and made him capable of doing that. So you keep giving the praise and glory to God. What else? What else? What are the pitfalls?
Optimism. People who are always positive.
People who are always positive, just like me. You watch out for them. Yeah, optimism. I was an I don't know what the word, something optimist. I can't remember what it is now, but I was a real optimist at once. You know, when you're young, 18, you get saved, you become a Christian, and just life is good, and the family and the church, everything's wonderful, until you start finding out all about the stuff and about what people are like. Yeah, being optimistic. Your best, they say, well, optimist, pessimist, or realist. You know, they talk about this, don't they? Just put the faith in the Lord, keep your powder dry, just go through life. Just weighing everything up. Don't jump in with both feet until you have weighed things up. You know what's ahead of you. You know what you get yourself into. Okay, what else?
Lies.
Sorry?
Lies.
Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have that one. I'll take that one. Hey, you could be gearing up for a prize tonight, the way things are going. Okay, lies. You watch out for the people that lie. Yep, something else?
Not being vulnerable.
Yes. Tough, isn't it? You know, we're all vulnerable at times in different areas of our lives. We all have our Achilles heel. Even you. An Achilles heel. What else? I bet the people listening to this wondering, who's he talking to? Who's talking about then? I'd like to know that person. Go on, what are you saying?
Materialism,
that's a good one. Being too materialistic. Yep. If you come around to our house and you'd notice that we're not that materialistic on things, but other things we are. So you have to watch out for it. And you could spend a fortune just doing up your house and holidays and all the, you know, all this stuff around you, building up an empire of all stuff around you. Materialism kills a Christian. Yeah, we try and have purges in our house, and we have to force ourselves to get rid of a lot of stuff because you just accumulate things. And yeah, and you spend money on stuff you don't really need. We're trying to be a little bit more sensible on that now, but still tough, isn't it? Materialistic things. We live in a country where we're very wealthy compared to a lot of people in the world who haven't got much. And if you've got, you know, more than your fair share, you ought to be trying to help somebody out, you know, somebody else out who hasn't got so much. And I'm willing to be helped any time. That's a joke. Okay, next, what else? I'll set light to you in a minute. Smoking?
Yeah.
All because there's a prize tonight. She's coming out with everything. I'm sure she went out there and phoned a friend. Yeah, okay, we'll take that. You have to watch out for smoking, drugs, alcohol. I understand that. Okay. What else? Let me throw one out to you. You're in this tonight, aren't you?
Yeah.
What about addictions? You're talking about smoking, drink, drugs. What about other addictions? Tell me some of the things that you can get addicted to.
Food.
It doesn't have to be necessarily you personally. But sport, you can get addicted to sport. What else?
Computer games.
Makeup. Makeup. Fair play.
Yeah, the internet.
Television. What else?
Food.
iPhones. Yes, there's an addiction for you. Look at her. An appendage to her body, that is. Okay, making money. What about laziness? Addicted to that, are you? Don't point. Okay, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we said, verse 12, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So you've got to look at yourself and think, well, is there anything that's, you know, overpowering me? Am I addicted to anything in life? Am I spending too much time on things that are not necessarily for the Lord and not necessarily that important? Am I wasting time? Because as a Christian, we can waste so much time. Are we wasting time? The Bible says addicted. One word, didn't it? Once it appears in Scripture, which is interesting, addicted. 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's what they were addicted to. What are you addicted to? What are you spending your time on? How much of your time does the Lord get? Okay. I had an email from a lady this week. Well, a few emails from this lady. And one of the emails really struck a chord with me. And she is another Christian out there by herself in an unsaved family. She's the only one that's saved in a family. And it's very, very hard for her, very difficult for her to do ministry because of the situation she's in without causing riots in the family and disruption. And but she said something, and it was wonderful what she was saying, and I wish in some ways I'd given you her words the way she said it, because it was excellent. But she was saying something along the lines of this, that the world, because of the situation she's in, and she has to lean on the Lord for everything because it's very, very difficult, her life is, that she realizes that the world has no attraction to her really whatsoever. And she was saying that she can only just throw herself in like the mercy and the grace of God and just keep coming back to him every day and just saying, Lord, you are everything to me and this world means nothing to me. You know, everything I've got around me, she obviously loves her family and that, but she finds it very difficult with her children who are unsaved, with her husband who's unsaved. But she's really trying to live for the Lord in that situation. And it was quite amazing, really, the emails that we were exchanging. And she was just really pouring out her heart. And she's really struggling, but she's just said that this world holds nothing to her. She realises it's empty. That's what she was trying to say, that this world and everything it offers is empty compared to the Lord. Wonderful. Now, with that in mind, turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I'm making you, Dee, responsible for that little girl sitting next to you, that if she keeps disrupting the meeting, you're to put her in the bag and throw her over the hedge. Okay, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Crystal clear. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind has been transformed, and you see things totally different when you're a Christian than before you were a Christian. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So straight away, we're talking about the will of God. And one of the first things Paul is saying here, get rid of your pride. Find out what God wants from you in life and get rid of your pride. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Listen, we all do different things. Just like the lady wrote to me, she can't do much. But what she is doing, yeah, she's trying to do it all for the Lord. One Christian said to me, an old guy, years and years and years ago, and I've told you this before, he said, it's not what you do for the Lord that matters, it's what you are in the Lord that counts. And there's a lot of truth in that. What you are in the Lord. But that, of course, will be determined by what you do. But there are certain things that we're restricted in doing, especially if you've got saved and your partner, your husband or your wife is not saved. Then it becomes very difficult. I understand that. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, or the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth, and he goes on. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Serving the Lord. You read it. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. We all go through these trials and tribulations in life. Patience. We all want it to end straight away, but sometimes you've got to go through it to learn. Continuing instant in prayer. That's what you've got to be. Praying instantly in every part of your life. You should be taking it to the Lord. What you're going through. You're dealing with the Lord. You're praying to the Lord. You're communicating to the Lord. Asking him to help you and guide you and teach you in every single area of your life. That's what we should be doing. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. It's a great chapter for the practical Christian life. Read it again in your own time. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and just give me a few snippets tonight. Just to help us all out in life. We need to just take stock sometimes. 1 Peter 1 verse 14 to 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's what you were like. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then two more passages. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then James 4:4, which we read. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Okay, other things to watch out for. Mixing with the wrong people, we said. Peer pressure, bad company. Getting involved with things that will affect your Christian walk. Joining things, clubs. You know, we know of people that have allowed their children to join clubs and that, and the next minute you know they're not there in church on Sundays or at the Bible study because they've joined something. Be careful what you join. Other things to watch out for, compromise. Be careful with you that you compromise in life. You can compromise, you know, your faith to please your family, to please your friends, to please your work colleagues, because you don't want to upset or embarrass yourself or them. Be careful. Watch out for that. I said before, promotion at work. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. Is it going to take you away from the Lord's work? Apathy. There's another thing to watch out for. Apathetic. Being apathetic towards people. You know, have you got a burden, a passion in your life to save those around you? From your family, your next door neighbours, your friends? Or are you apathetic? You don't care. People are going to hell every day. Do you care? Check your motives. There's another one. Check your motives. What kind of person, why you do things. Watch out for that. What to watch out for in life? Warnings, pitfalls, any others? Before we move on. Okay, what you have to watch out for in your Christian life? Write down just a few points. In your own Christian life, not just life in general, but specifically for your Christian life, what sort of things do you have to watch out for? That's your 2 minutes. What have we got? What do you have to watch out for in your own Christian life? To be disciplined. That's a good one. Discipline. Are you disciplined? Somebody else? Hypocrisy. Yep. And we all like it. We've all been hypocrites at times. Making out things are right. Pretending. Acting. We're all good at that. Something else?
Deception.
Deception. Be careful of deception. These are things to watch out for as a Christian, definitely.
Bad company.
Bad company.
Oh.
I'll take that one. Yep, something else.
Wrong teaching.
You've come to the right place, Manjit. No, I'm a joke. Yeah, definitely, that's a good one as well. Yep.
Seek to grow mature. Don't just rely on the church to be to learn and all that.
Yep, it's got to be in your own time, not just coming here twice a week, whatever. Something else?
Distractions.
These are all good, yeah. Distractions. Something else? Temptations. Anything else?
Not compromising.
Pride.
Time
wasting. I'll go with that one. I'll take it. Okay. Yeah? Anything else?
People that can drag you down.
People that can drag you down. Yeah. Brilliant. Well done. Okay, and just to finish off with then, what about caring for other people? When you look at your own life, do you care for other people? And I don't mean just immediate family and friends. What about other people that you have acquaintances, associate with, whether it is at work, or just people you know in the village, town, city, wherever you live? Do you care for them? How much do you care for them? Do you care enough for them to tell them the truth? To go out of your way and help them? We get so tunnel vision, so wrapped up, you know, and I know, again, a lot of Christians, and even King James only Bible-believing Christians, that are not doing much with their life because they just don't care. All they want to do is argue doctrine, but they don't care about the practical things in life and the people around them. A guy, an absolute nut this week, has emailed me about 6 to 8 times, wants to argue over the Sabbath, wants to argue over the word Trinity, because Trinity is not mentioned in the scriptures. And we should be using the word Godhead. They want to get arguing. So I just said to him, how many tracts are you giving out this week? You don't want to talk about that. They want to argue these issues. And they're wasting their time. And they're wasting my time. I've got to be careful I don't get wrapped up in all this. So a couple of little stern emails from me, and he's sent his way packing again. I haven't got time. But do you care enough about people? Do you think you need a softer heart? Do you think you need the Lord to help, to give you a burden and a passion for people? What about reading the scriptures? Do you love this book when you open it? You know, is it joyous to you? Do you thrive on it? Does it excite you when you open it and you read it? Or is it just a chore, just a duty? Do you think you need a new heart for that? What's your relationship like with the Lord? Is it cold? Do you feel like you know the Lord? Oh, it's all very well. You have the doctrine right. As long as we've got our doctrine right. But what about your relationship with the Lord? Being practical. That's all we're doing. Just checking ourselves. We're just taking stock of what we've got and what we are. And we're just checking it. A few scriptures here. Just checking ourselves with what the Word of God says. Trying to ask the Lord to bring us into line again if we've stepped out. Or maybe out of the will of God. Maybe out of sink, you know, we need to be brought back in again. Because the Christian life, this is, you know, we are living on this planet right now in 2016, walking these streets, meeting these people, living the Christian life, talking to the Lord, reading the Bible, trying to figure things out, And we've got people all around us all the time. And we should be impacting their lives as well. But are we? I don't know you, you don't know me, real deep down. But, you know, we get the gist of seeing what we like when we come and we can, you know, burn off each other. But it's about real things. It's about real life. And about living for the Lord in everything. So really, it's just a little bit of a challenge tonight, just to have a look at your own lives. If you're not where you should be, get there. Do everything you can to put the correct foot forward in the right direction, asking the Lord to lead you in every decision you make, every question, you know, everything that comes into your life. Keep asking the Lord to help you make that right decision. And we do need discernment, and we do need knowledge and wisdom. But you need to get into this book. There's no shortcut with the Bible. You need to get into this book. You need to keep reading it and seeking His will for your life. Amen. Amen.